So you may remember, last Sunday, I think, we were looking at verse 16, the throne of grace. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the verse from John's Gospel in chapter 1 that told us that Jesus Christ is full of grace and full of truth. So I want to build then on those two sermons this evening by turning again to Hebrews 4 and verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So our theme then on Sundays presently is the grace of God. And this morning, if you were here, we had the idea of the multicolored grace of God. It's a phrase that you'll find in Peter's first letter. And we said this morning that if you think of God's grace as multicolored, there are three primary colors to the grace of God. There's common grace, that's God's grace to everyone. There is saving grace, and then there is persevering grace, the grace that God gives to a Christian so that she continues in the faith. Now, it's that persevering grace that I want to explore with you on a Sunday. So all that we've done so far, not just today, but over the past weeks, is under that heading of the persevering grace of God. How God gives grace to each of us through his Son, Jesus Christ, to enable us to live our Christian lives. So in the words of Hebrews 4, look at verse 14. It's the grace to enable us to hold fast our confession. That's the great concern of the preacher here, that the Christians hold fast to their confession of faith. If we are to hold fast, then we need the grace of God given to us. So what I want us to think about tonight is this. Verse 16 encourages you and I to always come to God. No matter what our situation, no matter what we are feeling or experiencing, verse 16 is this great appeal to the Christian to come with confidence to God's throne. Now, I think sometimes you and I as Christians, we have black and white thinking. And one of the great challenges is this black and white thinking. So do you recognize it in yourself? The white thinking, we think of ourselves as being faithful for the moment. We are attending church. We are going on. And so that white thinking, we feel, right, we can come before God now. We can come confidently to God because things are going well. And then the black thinking, when things are not going well, we then feel that we cannot come before God. So there's always this black and white framework to our thoughts. Now, grace here is challenging that black and white thinking. Grace is telling us that God always wants us to come. That whether it's white or black, whether it's good or bad, whether it's easy or hard, God is always encouraging us to come to him so that how we are, as we are, whatever need it is, that we are experiencing, we come then to God to find all the help that we need. I'm sure you're listening to me there and thinking, yes, Neil, I do that all the time. And I'm sure you do, and I hope you do. But my experience is that Christians often struggle to come to God with their darker secrets. Christians often struggle to come to God in their darkest moments. It's common for Christians to feel excluded, to feel prohibited, to feel forbidden to come before God because of what may be happening at a particular time. So the great appeal here then is to each Christian to always know that you are welcome before God, however you are, whatever is true, and you will find all the help and all the grace that you need. So here's my aim then. I don't know if I'll succeed, but this is my great hope this evening. That you'll be encouraged for the rest of your Christian lives to always know that wherever you are, whatever is true, whatever may be happening, you can come to God and God will welcome you. And God will help you and aid you. Now, how are we going to know this? What can give us this confidence? And the answer is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. If we know Jesus Christ, if we understand him, then that knowledge about him will always draw us to God. So whatever may be true, if you can think about Jesus Christ, that knowledge will draw you to God and you will find God's grace available to you. So what I'd like us to do is either remind ourselves or add to our knowledge of Jesus Christ by looking together at verse 15. So Hebrews 4 and verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but it was in all points tested as we are, yet without sin. Now I want to take that verse and I want to reverse it. Let's begin then with the thought at the end of verse 15, as we are, then we'll take a step back and we'll think about the phrase there to do with sympathy, and then we'll end with the phrase, a great high priest. So here's the aim then. We want to leave you with a knowledge about Jesus Christ that will always encourage us at any moment in our life, in any circumstance that we find ourselves, it will encourage us to come to God to find help. The knowledge of Christ will enable us to do that. So if we can have that knowledge, keep it in our minds and our hearts, we can live our Christian lives with that confidence that will bring us before the throne of grace. Well, let's ask God to help us then as we turn to his word. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you that we can once again explore the nature of grace. Lord, we're not offering a definition yet. We want to suspend that need we have for a definition, and we want to explore the theme from these different angles that we find in the Bible. So, Lord, we've seen that grace is multicolored. There are three primary colors: common grace, saving grace, and persevering grace. Lord, it's that third that we are so interested in as Christian people. Your grace that will enable us to hold fast our confession. So Lord our God, as we take up your word again, we ask that you would speak to us. Lord, we are so often tired at the end of a day. Perhaps we've spent the day with family. Lord, we might feel hot or uncomfortable. Lord, speak to us through your word and give grace to enable us to overcome any difficulty we have as we look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's our quest then. What's going to enable us to have confidence to always come before God? And that confidence is found in a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we go back two Sundays, do you remember we said that God's grace is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ? So we said 2 weeks ago that when you think of God's grace, it's not like a cloud that floats above our head. The grace of God isn't something touchy-feely that we can't hold on to. The grace of God is flesh and blood. The grace of God is the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the knowledge of Jesus Christ is always practical knowledge. I would really hope, I don't think I can, but I would really hope to communicate to you this idea that knowledge of Jesus is practical. It's nothing academic, it's not in the clouds. Every bit of knowledge you have about Christ is practical. So here's what I mean. What will encourage me to come before God? The thought that there is someone in heaven just like me. There is someone at the right hand of God who is just like me. And that someone is Jesus Christ. Can you see it at the end of verse 15? Tempted as we are. Now, one of the great challenges, I suppose, is the sense we have that we're on our own, that no one understands, that no one else has to face what I face, or no one else struggles like I do. If you can hold on to the fact that at the right hand of God is someone just like you. And he's just like you physically. He's got our nature. So his physical body, just like your physical body, is at the right hand of God. There is a man there with hands and feet and eyes and a heart just like you. And just like you, he lived in this world and he experienced all the demands that can be placed on a physical body. He knew that body to ache. He knew pain in his physical body. He knew tiredness and hunger and thirst. His sleep was broken, just like you. At the right hand of God is someone just like you. Someone who had the same family life like you and I. Someone who lived in a community just like you and I do. Someone who had the same mental and emotional challenges just like you. Now, some of you, I think, are going to miss the point. And I can almost predict that some of you will say to me at the end, but it says it in verse 15, but he's without sin. Yes, he's without sin. Of course, the perfect, spotless Son of God. But what the preacher is emphasizing is that he's just like us. So the struggles and the challenges and the darkness and the unnamed and ashamed world in which we live was a world where he lived. And this world touched him without sin. You can almost feel it, can't you? It's almost in your thoughts. Neil, just tell us, he's without sin. Yes, he's without sin. But don't miss out this great idea here. The preacher will develop it as his sermon goes on. Do you remember how the preacher will say at one point, well, in Israel, in the old nation, when they wanted to appoint a high priest, they would choose a man. And this man was chosen not because of his preaching ability. He wasn't chosen because he was wonderfully holy. He wasn't chosen because he was better than the rest of us. They would choose a man just like us, who knew our struggles, who lived in the real world like we do. And this high priest then, chosen from amongst men, would then represent us with the same struggles before the throne of God. Now that's the point. Just like you, there is a man at the right hand of God. And whatever you've known, whatever's been true, he has known it. And to me, if we can hold on to this truth, that there is someone just like me, already in heaven, already triumphant. He sacrificed himself. He laid down his life. He was raised from the dead. He's passed through the heavens. He's at the right hand of God. There he is, someone just like me. That thought will draw you to that place. Because there's not someone there different to you. There's not someone at the right hand of God better than you. There is someone at the throne of God just like you. Now come back to verse 15. This one who's just like you, and there's so much more to say, isn't there, about that, but we won't do that this evening. That's someone just like you at the throne of grace, at God's right hand, is someone who feels for you. He is someone with sympathy for you. Now, this word sympathy, I always feel to you that it's a little bit sort of weak sounding. Sympathy, if you work in schools or if you work in hospitals, you'll be taught today about empathy. And empathy is the idea that you can imagine what it's like to be someone else. So if you ever do a little bit of counseling, there you are listening to somebody tell you their experiences. Perhaps they're telling you that when they were younger, they were beaten by their parents. Perhaps they're telling you in counseling that their loved one died, and you're listening, and you weren't beaten as a child, and your loved one is still there, but you're listening to this person, and you're trying to imagine what they went through. And as you imagine that, you connect with them, and you would seek to help them. Now, that's empathy. What we've got here in verse 15 is sympathy. Sympathy is when you've gone through it as well. So you were beaten by your parents. Your loved one has died and left you. And it's from that same experience. You know what it's like because you've been there yourself. It's out of a heart that says, I know. That's sympathy. And that's the person at the right hand of God who will say to you, I know. And he's not saying to you that he knows, because he's imagining what your life is like. So Jesus in heaven, as God, imagines all the challenges of life in 2016, living in Wales, being unwell, living in a family. He's imagining it because he's God. It's not that, is it? At the right hand of God is someone just like you, who's just like you to the extent that what you have been through, so has he. And what you are tested by, so was he. And what you were challenged by, so was he. That's sympathy. It's one of these great Greek terms where sim is at the start, with, together with. Together with us because he knows it and feels it and has been through it and understands it from the inside. He understands because he's experienced it. He's not understanding because he imagines it. You say that, don't you, sometimes? You say, yes, I can imagine. That must have been really hard for you. Oh, I can imagine what you're going through. Jesus will never say, I can imagine what you're going through. Because he will say, I have been through what you're going through. That's sympathy here in verse 15. So what's going to encourage you and I, no matter what's true of us, what's going to encourage us to bend our knees and turn to God as we are, whatever's true, whatever's going on, what's going to encourage us? It's the thought that at God's right hand is someone just like me. And that someone just like me is full of fellow feeling. It's a funny old phrase. He's full of shared experience. And there is no experience that any of us can have that he has not shared in. And he knows himself what it is that you and I are feeling. So there he is, just like us, at the right hand of God, having passed through the heavens. He sacrificed himself. He's been raised from the dead. He's triumphant, seated in glory, full of majesty. He's our high priest. That's where we'll end our thoughts for the moment. Verse 15. He is our great high priest. We've already said how this preacher here will go on to remind his listeners about Israel and the temple and the animal sacrifices and the priests and then the high priest. And this high priest was a person whose duty it was to speak up on behalf of everyone in the nation of Israel to a holy God. He would go into the presence of God. Do you remember? Once a year, through that veil. He would go in, and then he would represent to God that whole nation. And God would then deal with the nation on the basis of the high priest. So great mystery. In would go the high priest to this holy of holy place. He would take blood with him. And then based on that, God would deal with the entire nation through that activity of the high priest. So, let's finish with this, shall we? Jesus Christ is our high priest. He represents you before God. And God deals with you on the basis of Jesus Christ. All the dealings of God, everything that God wishes to do is through his Son, Jesus Christ. On the basis of Jesus Christ at his right hand. So are you okay for two ideas here? The first is Jesus Christ continuously shows to God his right and his left hand. He continually shows to God the wounds he received on the cross. So if you can think about minutes and seconds and hours, if you like, every second of every minute in the glories of heaven, Jesus Christ has his hands on display to God, reminding God, if I can say it like that, I went to the cross, I took their sins, I was punished in their place. Your wrath fell on me. Jesus is a constant reminder to God that God's wrath fell on his only Son. That God did not spare his only Son. Right there at the right hand of God is Jesus Christ, who says to God, you didn't spare me. You gave me up. You gave me up for all of them. I took their sin upon myself. And you punished me instead of them. That's a constant theme that Jesus Christ says to God on your behalf. So whatever's true of you, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever is going on for you, there's somebody there at the right hand of God, just like you, who feels for you and who reminds God that he died for you, that he took your sins and he made them his own, and he went to the cross and he laid down his life. That constant song is sung on your behalf by Jesus Christ, who is just like you. And finally then, Jesus Christ at the right hand of God prays for you. There is not a moment of any day when you are not taken before God, upheld before God, put before God with someone of great sympathy for you. He will bring you to God, present you to God, and ask God to help you and to give grace to you according to your need. So let's hold on then to someone just like us, someone who feels for us, who represents us before God, and who prays for us. And if we can hold on to that knowledge, we can always come ourselves to the throne of grace for help in times of need. Let's turn to